Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Tesvav. We're beginning the beautiful second perek. The perek deals a lot with the order of the Tanios, what we actually do, which we discussed a lot in the first perek. So we begin Tesvav Ben Aleph at the new perek. And the Mishnah tells us, Say the Tanios Ketzad. How exactly do we conduct ourselves? And as we'll see in the Gemara, we're really talking here about the last series of seven fasts. There were the three series. We had first the Yechidim, and then we had the first of the three fasts, then we had the second of the three fasts, and then we had the series of the last of the fasts, which is seven fasts. So, Seder Tanios Ketzad, as the Gemara will tell us, this is really talking about the last seven fasts. What was the right way that they were going daven on those days? Motzin es ateva l'rechov shalir. They would bring out the Aron Kodesh and take it out of the shul and bring it into the public area. They used to have public events, gatherings for tefillah, times of tzara. They couldn't fit into the shul, so they would bring it out to the public area. And this area is known as the Rechov shalir. It was like a public square. And there is where they would daven. Machlokas amongst the Rishonim, as to which tefillahs this is applicable to. And you basically have five shittas that I'll go through very, very quickly. The Ran says, and this is the Das of Rabbeinu Chananel, that they would do rak tefillahs ne'ilah, that these additional tefillahs that they would say would be just for ne'ilah, that they would say the additional six brachos and the blowing of the shofar, and this whole process was for ne'ilah alone. They would add a special tefillah of ne'ilah, like we do in Yom Kippur, on these days of these seven taneisim. That's the opinion of the Ran. The Balaam Or says that these 24 brachos shemoneh esrei that they would say was a special tefillah, like Musaf is a special tefillah. The Me'iri, and this is brought down as a Yesh Omrim, and is also the opinion of the Riyaz, says it's referring to Shachris. There's another Yesh Omrim that says this is Shachris and Mincha, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and this is the opinion actually probably based upon the Rambam and the Ritva. And finally, we have the Das of the Ramban that says it's all the tefillahs of the day, Shachris, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. In any event, whichever tefillah this actually was said in, this is the process that they would do. They would take out the Aron Kodesh and bring it to the Rechov of the ear. V'nosin Efer Makla Agabi HaTeva U'Berosh HaNosi U'Berosh Av Beistin V'Kol Echav Yecha Nosin Berosho. So they would take out ashes, specifically ashes that are burnt ashes as opposed to dirt. Sometimes Efer could be referring to dirt, but here it's specifically referring to burnt ashes. That is a phenomenally interesting and difficult to understand Tosos that you find on Tetzvav Omid Beis, where Tosos says, also Efer heavy may etzem odom. It was from a burnt bone of a person. Shari hu, the Bach deletes the word hu and says, Shari ha Efer heavy lezikoron hakeda. This is to remind us of the Akedas Yitzchak. And Kaviyachol, Yitzchak was being offered as a sacrifice, so this represents the burnt bones of Yitzchak. And that's what the Tosos is. Everybody's masma. They're all surprised and amazed at this Tosos, because it's very difficult to understand. First of all, how do you not bury those bones if they're the bones of a human being? So a number of terutzim are given. So in regards to if they were human bones, how could they not bury them? So some bring down that Barkeda Nisra for Ayil Tachas Yitzchak. That it's not talking about the bones of Yitzchak. This is a reference to the bones of the Ayil. And it's actually a mistake in Tosos. Tosos didn't say the bones of a person. Tosos said Atzomos Aleph with an apostrophe over it. And the editors then made that instead of Ayil, they made it into Odom. That's what Rav Yaakov Emdim, the Yaivitz, says. And this explanation is also mentioned in the Ein Shmuel and the Shoshanim LeDovid. However, the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch on the tour does bring down this opinion of Tosos that it was a human bone. And the purpose of this was a Zecher. It says in the Yerushalmi that it should be a Zecher to the Schus of Avram Avinu, who said, Anochi Ofor V'Ether, I'm ashes and dust. And therefore, we bedavka want to remind ourselves of this with the Akedas Yitzchak, and that's the Atzomos there. In the Matas Elokim, he brings down from a savior known as the Birchos Hamayim, that it's Ein Kavanaso Etzim Odom Soruf. It's not a burnt human bone. Elorak Shia Efer Miguf Dovor Shenisraf Ayedei Maisi Odom. It has to be a person burnt this animal bone, and that's what you use it. And he also points out that we don't do this by the Efer that we put on a Chosson's head at his wedding. There, we bedavka don't look for a human bone. We use Efer, we use ashes. And El Yerabba brings down that the reason is Liskor Chorben Yushalayim. He says that is to remember Yushalayim. As opposed to here on a Tainis, we specifically want to remember Akedas Yitzchak. So that's why with the Chosson, we put ashes that are not from a bone. And with the Tainis, we specifically use the ashes of a bone. Alternatively, we're dealing here with the bone of a non-Jewish person, and therefore there's no chiyuv of kavura, or that we're dealing with an aver shenofal miyad mechayev, a bone that came off a person during his lifetime, that also is not necessarily a mitzvah of kavura. So that could explain how you don't have a kavura over here. And others bring down, know the Behuda, the Maral Diskin, they say that they're talking about Ba'adam Shinisraf, talking about Rahman al-San, a person that was burned, and it's Eno Barur, Shiesh Ba'afaro, Mitzvah's Kura. It's not clear that those ashes of the person that was burned are, in fact, requiring Kura. In any event, this is all to explain this very difficult Tosos. Maybe just be a printer's error, and it should just be the bones, and this to remind us of the bones of the Isle of the Akedas Yitzchak. In any event, they would put these ashes on the Aron Kodesh, Agabi Yateva, and then they would put it then subsequently on the head of the Nasi, the head of Klal Yisrael, then they would put it on his vice Nasi, the Rosh Av Beis Din, and then every individual would go put it on their own forehead. We'll see it this put in the place of the tefillin, similar to what we do with the chasen, in the place where you put your shorosh, that's where you put the ashes on the chasen, that's where they would put the ashes over here. And the Gemara will explain why this order was done, that first we put on the teva, and then somebody places it on the head of the Nasi, somebody places it on the head of the Av Beis Din, and then everybody places it on their own head. This will be explained more in the Gemara. Then they have Hazakin Shebehem, they have one of the elder people, the Talmud Chacham, Omer Lefneim Divrei Kivushin. He tells them humbling things. He gives them a drasha about humbling things. And included in that, he says, Achenu, he says, all my members of Klal Yisrael, my brothers, Lo Nemar, it doesn't say in regards to B'anshei Ninveh, when they did tshuva, it doesn't say over there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Vayar Elokim as Sakon the Es Tanisim. It doesn't say, oh, Hashem was very impressed, the fact they were wearing sackcloth, and the fact that they were fasting. But no, what does it say? It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was impressed, Elo Vayar Elokim Es Maaseihem. Hashem saw their actions, Kishavu Midarko Marah, that they in fact did tshuva. And the things they're doing wrong, they now were doing correctly. They corrected their bad actions, and that's what impressed the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's what saved Ninveh. And that's what the Zokain is telling the Am right now, that we need to do tshuva. We're doing something obviously wrong, and everybody has to introspect and think what we're doing wrong. Over Kabbalah, now Kabbalah, Rashi reminds us, is a word that we use for the Nevi'im. Over Kabbalah, Omer, in the Navi, it says, this is in Yoel, V'kiru levavchem, V'al bigdeichem, and then the end of the pasuk says, V'shuvu el Hashem Elokeichem. So you go and do kriya, you'll rip your hearts, V'al bigdeichem, and not your clothing. In other words, we're not interested in the physical destruction, we're interested over here in the spiritual change. V'kiru levavchem, V'al bigdeichem, and not your clothing, and that will lead to shuvu el Hashem Elokeichem. On the tefillah, then the daven Shmoneh Esrei, again, like all the shitas, the five shitas of the Rishonim that I gave you, which tefillah we're dealing with in Shmoneh Esrei over here. Moridin lifnei hateva zokein v'rogil. They go and bring to be the chazen for the tzibur, to be shesheir tzibur, somebody who's a zokein, a zesh shekar nechochma, a person who's a talmud chacham, usually an older person, v'rogil, he's able to daven fluently. Rashi reminds us that the Shliach Tzibur makes mistakes. It's not Shkur B'Fiv, so then that's a bad omen, a bad sign for the Tzibur. So you bring there a Talmud Chacham, an older Talmud Chacham, that's Rogel, he knows how to daven. He has Shlabanim, he has children, so he'll be davening more with Kavanah, because it's not just, I'm an old guy, I got nobody to daven for. No, he has children. And therefore, we want him to have especially be in it, so to say, that this famine, this lack of rain, is going to affect him and his children. And he's poor, his house is empty. That's the simple pshat that Rashi gives over here. Rashi brings down the Gemara that's going to tell us another pshat, and that is that he's free of sin, that he's a chassid, he's a righteous person. And we have such a person be the one to lead the davening, k'dei she'elibo sholim b'tfilah, that he'll daven a proper, complete, full tefillah on behalf of the tzibur. He's the sholiach tzibur. He's the messenger for the tzibur, and we want that to be the most erlich person possible. And we say a special Shmoneh Esrei that we discussed previously. It has, in addition to the quote, 18 brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, we know, as I mentioned the other day, there's 19 brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, Lamashina was added later on, but it's still called Shmoneh Esrei, right? So we add on to these, really, it's 19 brachos, another 6 brachos to really make it 25, but it's called 24 brachos, because if we're using the base term of Shmoneh Esrei, so then you add on 6 brachos, it's going to be 24, but it's really 25. Now, it's going to be Yud Ches Shebuchol Yom, the regular 18 that we say each day, again, slash 19, U'mosif Aleim Od Sheish, and we add on 6 additional brachos. So the Gemara is first going to give us the nusach of the context of the bracha, and then subsequently, later on in the Mishnah, it will tell us the actual chasima of the bracha. This is a very long Mishnah. It goes almost all the way to the end of today's shir. It goes all the way to the Omid base. And this 6 additional brachas that we add on are in addition to the tefillah of Goel Yisrael, which is in the Shmoneh Esrei, which will be elongated somewhat. So we'll see that we actually blow shofar, as I mentioned yesterday, seven times, because you're blowing shofar for Goel Yisrael, as well as these six additional brachos. What are these six additional brachos? Most of Aleim Ot Sheish, what are they? The Eluhain. So they're similar. The first two, Zichronos and Shofars, are very similar to the Nusach of the brachos that we say on Rosh Hashanah. There is no mention over here of Malchios, because Malchios has nothing to do specifically with the Tainis. Malchios is specifically something that will Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. So that's not mentioned, but Zichronos and Shofros, which we'll see the Nusach of the brachos, are very appropriate both for Rosh Hashanah as well as for this Tainis. The next four brachos are the content of these brachos, not the chasima, is four kapitloch in Tehillim, three of them from the Shir HaMalos section of the Tehillim. It will be Kuf Chav, Kuf Chav Aleph, and Kuf Lamed, which we're all very familiar with, and then it will be Kapitel Kuf Beis. So that's, we list the highlights of those kapitloch of Tehillim over here now. So the third additional bracha that we had on is El Hashem Batzaros Oli Karosi Vayaneini. The fourth additional bracha we had on is Eso Inai El Harim Me'ayin Yavos Riva Gomer, that kapitloch Tehillim. The next one is Shir HaMalos V'Makim Karosicha Hashem. That is the fifth additional bracha that we had on for the Tainus. And the final one is Tfilo La'oni Kiyatov Kuf Beis, and that will be the sixth bracha. That's the text of the main part of the bracha. And then each of them had a chasima, which the Gemara will discuss in a moment. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Reviewed Omer, lo yetzarech lomar. Now that's a funny lashon. It seems to imply, no, you don't have to say zichronos and shofros, but the Gemara will say, no, you don't say zichronos and shofros. And that's his opinion. Reviewed Omer, lo yetzarech lomar zichronos and shofros. Instead, he says, ella omer tachteim. Instead of the nusach of the zichronos and shofros that we say on Rosh Hashanah, he says, you say the following psukim. The first one instead of Zichronos is from Melachim Aleph, and that you say, Rav kiyeh ba'aretz dever kiyeh. If there's Nebuch a Rav, if there's Nebuch a dever, so we beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should help us out. And then we'll close with the Nusach of the Brach of Zichronos, which we'll see in a moment. And then finally, instead of Shofros, this Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, holds that we say this pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which is Asher Hayo Devar Hashem on Yirmiyahu Al Divrei HaBatzoros. This is in regards to the Nebuch, the famines that they were having, the Shnas Batzir, the Batzoros, the famine that they had because of lack of rain. And we'll conclude that with the conclusion of Shofros. So this is a slight difference between the Tanakam and Yehuda for the brachos of Zichronos and Shofros, the first and second additional brachos that we add on to this 24 brachos Shmoneh Esrei. Now, what is the chasima of each of these brachos? V'yomer chosmeim. We add on the chasima for each of them. Now, here, we're actually going to have seven changes in the chasima, because we're also going to change, add to the nusach of the brach of Goel Yisrael. So we're going to have seven chasimas over here, and you're going to be wondering, well, there's only six brachos. So yes, in addition to the six additional brachos, we're also going to change around the chasima of Goel Yisrael, which is the first one. So that's why it's called Al Rishona, but there's going to be a total of seven, because the Rishon here is referring to Goel Yisrael. So the Shaliach Tzibur adds on to the regular Nusach of the Bracha of Goel Yisrael, and he says, Mishonos Abram Bara Maria, Hu Yaneschem Yishma Bekol Tzachaschem Hayom Hazeh Baruch Ata Hashem Goel Yisrael. So we specifically mention over here how HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Abram's Tfilos in regarding to Akedas Yitzchak, and therefore, just like you answered Abram Avinu in regards to the Akedah, so too you should listen to our cries out to now to you, Hashem, and answer us, Baruch Hashem, Goel Yisrael. So that is the regular Baruch of Goel Yisrael with this additional language, Nusach, in the Baruch. And now, when it says, Al HaShniyahu Omer, this is really the first of the additional brachas, but we call it the second because it's the second edition, since we just had an addition to Goel Yisrael. So Al HaShniyahu Omer, in the second bracha, it says, we add on, Misha Ono Es Abo Seinu Al Yamsuf, when we were crossing Yamsuf, so the stream was chasing us, and the Yam Suf was raging, and we needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered us and split Kriyas Yam Suf. He did the Yam Suf opening for us. So Mishonu Esavaseinu Al Yam Suf Hu Yane Eschem V'Yishma Kol Tzach Eschem. The same type of a nusach over here. He should answer us over here and listen to our crying out to him. Hayom Hazeh, on this day, Baruch Ata Hashem. Now the girsa that we have is Zocher Hanishkochos, which is the girsa of Zichronos. Others bring down, this is the Ksiv Yad, as well as Tosus brings this down on Tez Zayin on the base, and he says the girsa should be Zocher HaBris, which is the girsa that we have in Rosh Shmoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. So this is the first of the additional brachos, but the second change in the chasima or the nusach at the end of the bracha. Al HaShlishis, which is the third in total, including Goa Yisrael, but the second additional bracha. So this is Mishona Es Yoshua B'Gilgal, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that answered Yoshua B'Gilgal. Gilgal was the area where Klai Yisrael was when we were surrounding Yericho and marching around Yericho, blowing shofar around Yericho, and then the walls of Yericho came tumbling down. So that same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that answered Yoshua Abba Gilgal, Hu Yane Eschem, Yishma Abba Kol Tzach Eschem. Again, the same Nusach, Hayom Azeh, on this day, you should answer us on this day. Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Trua. This is the shofar's conclusion of the shofar's bracha. Here it's the same Nusach as on Rosh Hashanah, Shomea Trua. Fine. Then Al Revius, which is the fourth in all, the third new additional bracha. What is that one? Al Revius Hu Omer, Mishana Shmuel B'mitzvah. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that answered Shmuel B'mitzvah when the Plishtim were attacking us, so Shmuel Davin, that we should be saved. So that same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you answered us then, Hu Yane Eschem, Yishma B'kol Tzach Eschem Yom Hazeh, should answer us Tfilos in this time of Tzara on this day. And again, we conclude it with a special additional bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Tzaaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to us crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next bracha, the fourth additional bracha, the fifth all including Goa Yisrael, Chamishesu Omer, Mishana, Esel Yo Bahar Karmel, Lu Yana Eshem, Yishma B'Kotzach Hashem Yom Hazeh, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they answered Yo Bahar Karmel when they had the famous battle against the Nevi'i Abal, and they brought their carbon and it didn't light any, Elio then brought, he soaked his carbon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down the fire miraculously from Shemayim, and that same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that answered Eliyahu Har HaKamel, he should answer our tefillahs today. Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Here we have a bracha of Shomea Tefillah. This is not to be confused with the regular bracha of Shomea Tefillah, which we'll say later on as well. But here's another bracha of Shomea Tefillah. Alach Shishis on the sixth additional nusach, which is the fifth additional bracha, Alashish is Omer, Mishonis Yonah, Bimeha Dogah, the Kodesh Baruch Hu that answered Yonah inside the fish, of course, with the Mice of Nineveh, the famous Haftorah that we read on Yom Kippur. So the Mice of Yonah, he was answered from inside the fish that swallowed him. Hu Yane Eschem, Yishma B'Kol Tzach Eschem Yom Hazeh, the same Kodesh Baruch Hu should answer us today in our time of difficulty. And this conclusion of this bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem, Ha'oneh Be'ez Tzara. And finally, the last bracha, the seventh in this series of additional changes, the sixth additional bracha, Al Shvius Uomer, Mishon is David and Shlomo, Beno Yerushalayim. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that answered David and Shlomo with all of their difficulties in Yerushalayim, both during the time of David's lifetime, as well as the building of the Beis HaMikdash in Shlomo's time, and the opening up the gate, Su Sarm Rashi Echad. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that answered them in all of their difficulties, Hu Yane Eschem, the Yishma B'Kotz HaKasem HaYavazeh, same Nusach at the end of this. Each one of these seven editions, that same nusach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer us, Hu Yane Eschem, Yishma B'Kol Tzach Eschem, Yom Hazeh, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMerachem Al HaOretz. And that's the conclusion of the sixth additional bracha and the seventh in the series of changes in the Shmona Esrei. Now the Gemara says, the Mishnah continues and says, Maisa, and we turn to Tezvav Amud Beis, there once was a Maisa. And this occurred, Bimei, Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Chanani ben Trajon, the great Tanoim, Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Chanani ben Trajon. This mice occurred when they were leading the Tefillah. And what happened? One time, Sha'ava Echod of Ne'ateva, the person who was the Chazan, this Zokin Viragil, that went up to the Teva to lead them during these series of fast days, the Gomer Es HaBracha Kula, and he finished off the entire Bracha, each one of these additional brachos, the congregation didn't answer Amen after him. Instead, you know what they answered? Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Yolam Va'ed. Now this was a nusach that they would answer in the Beis HaMikdash, as we'll see later on in the story, but instead of answering Amen, they also answered this nusach of Baruch Shem Kvod Machusol Yolam Va'ed after these additional brachos. And then Rashi explains over here that the chazan of the Knesset, this is different than what we call the chazan. This is not the shliach tzibur. Rashi says chazan haKnesset omer lehen al kol bracha bracha hu ashamish v'lo shliach tzibur. It's not the chazan that actually does this. What we call the chazan, it's what they call the chazan, which was the gabai. So we use the term chazan today for the shliach tzibur. They use the term chazan for the gabai. In any event, Rashi says it was the chazan, this gabai, who would be saying over here tiku hakohanim, and they change around the girsa, the Vilna Gaon changed around the girsa to say tiku, that this was all said by the shamish, by the gabai, by this, quote, chazen, not the shliach tzibor, and he would tell them, get ready, tiku ha-kohanim, tiku, prepare kohanim to go and blow the kia, trua, tekia, or be trua, tekia, teruah sometimes. They change off, they alternate, according to some, they blew three blasts each time. That's what we said the other day. The total of 21 blasts, we had a gears of 18, we said the Vilna Gaon changed to 21, because they would blow either a tekia, trua, tekia, alternating with a trua, tekia, trua, for each of these additional seven changes in the brachas of the Shmona Esrei. So it'd be a total of 21 blasts, three for each one. That's a simple understanding. Others say, no, they just blew a tekia one time, then they blew a trua by itself, then they blew a tekia by itself. So again, the different opinions, I gave you the more popular opinion of three times each by each bracha, and this Gabbai would tell the Kohanim, get ready to do so. And then some suggest that the Shliach Tzibur, as well as the Gabbai, would then say, Misha Onres Avram Avinu Bahar Maria, Hu Yana Eschem Yishma B'Kol Tzachas Hema Yom Hazeh, that the Shliach Tzibur would say it, and then the Gabbai would repeat it, and then they would either blow then, or they would blow after the bracha, different opinions amongst the Rishonim. And then they would say, Hariyu B'nei Aaron Hariyu, now go blow the Trua. The first time they said to blow the Tekiah, and now it would be the Trua again. As I mentioned, some say it was tekiah, trua, tekiah. Some say just tekiah. And then the second time it was trua, tekiah, terua. Others say, no, just terua. In any event, they would say, hariyu b'nei Aaron, to go and blow b'nei Aaron. Now, obvious question is, before we call them the Kohanim, and here we call them b'nei Aaron, so some suggest that it really should say that this was b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim. That was the right girsa, and it just got messed up. Sometimes it said Kohanim, sometimes it said B'nai Aaron, and there is no difference over here as to who should blow. But the minhag was that the Kohanim would go and blow this, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, it had to be the Kohanim that would be blowing the shofar. So to over here, I mean, not it had to have been by din that it was the Kohanim that did this, but the minhag was that the Kohanim would blow this. And no difference whether we call them Kohanim or B'nai Aaron. They both mean the Kohanim. That's the simple understanding. There are others who say, no, there is a difference over here that they call one for Tekiah and they call the other for Trua, but the simple understanding is that the Girsa should have been B'nei Aaron HaKohanim. In any event, the Gabbai says, get ready to blow the Trua now, and they would say the second of the additional additions, Mishon HaSavaseinu HaYamsuf, Huyan HaSchem Yishmah B'Kol Tzachasem HaYom HaZeh, and they would blow, and then they would continue this way for all the rest of the brachos. Now, the Gemara continues and says, the Mishnah, Ukshabot Dover Itzel Chachamim, when the Chachamim heard about what they did during the davening, when Rabbi Chalafta and Rabbi Chanani ben Tradrim were leading the davening, that they answered, Baruch Shem V'Amach So, instead of Amen, they said, no, that's not right. Ukshabot Dover Itzel Chachamim, Amru, Lo Ayinu Noagim Kein. No, this is not the right way to do this. The only time we answered, Baruch Shem V'Amach So, instead of Amen, was in the Beis HaMikdash, Ela Bishar Mizrach, the Harabais, Uba Harabais, that they would do this in the Shara Mizrach of the Harabais. That's where they would say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso instead of Amen, but shouldn't be done when you're out the Rehov HaShalir of each city, of each place. They shouldn't be doing that. Okay, Machlokas as to what they answered. In any event, the Mishnah continues and says, Shalosh Taneos Rishonos. Here now we go back from talking about the last seven Taneos. Now we're talking about the first three Taneos. Shalosh Taneos Rishonos, Anshe Mishmor Misanin Velo Mashlimim. Now, we need a little explanation over here. What are the Anshe Mishmor? What are the Anshe Beisav? And as we'll see in other terminology, what are the Anshe Maimon? So, we know that Klai Yisrael was divided up originally into eight Mishmoros. When Moshe Rabbeinu divided up Klai Yisrael into eight Mishmoros of the Kohanim, subsequently David and Shlomo divided up into 24, so we always refer to the 24 Mishmoros. These were basically the on-call schedule for the Kohanim, who had to do the Avodah. They worked once every 24 weeks, and even in that week, they were divided up then into Batei Av. The simple understanding was that there were six Batei Av. All the Batei Avs worked on Shabbos. There is one Rashi elsewhere that says there were seven Batei Av, but that seems to be a mistake in the gears of Rashi. And the standard way of learning it, there were six Batei Av, each Mishmor. Each group of the 24 groups of Kohanim was then subsequently further divided into six Batei Av, and they all would work together on Shabbos, so that's what happened on Shabbos, but this group was the Sunday Beis Av, this was the Monday Beis Av, within that group of that Mishmar. And this Mishmar was amongst the Kohanim. They had to do the Avodah, the Levim that had their Avodah, they were also divided up. And then Klai Yisrael had to be present at the bringing of the Korbanos on behalf of Klai Yisrael. So the Klai Yisrael was also divided up into 24 Mishmaros. And these people would be called the Anshe Maimon, that they would have certain tefillos and certain process during this week that they were on call. So we'll talk about them momentarily. But right now in the Mishnah, it says for the first three fasts in the series of 13 fasts, so the first series, which is three fasts, Shalosh Taneos Rishonos, Anshe Mishmor Mis'anim V'lo Mashlimim, the people that were on call that week, so they would fast, but they didn't complete the fast, because in case they were needed, Rashi says, they'd be ready to step in case it was a lot of work, and they wouldn't be so weak from fasting. However, the people of the Beis Av that were working that day, Anshe Beis Av, Lo Yumasan and Kla, they wouldn't fast at all because they were working. And it wasn't yet that serious in the terms of the famine. It was only the first three series of fast, and therefore the people who were working that day didn't fast at all. However, once things are getting more serious, Shalosh Nios, in the second series of fasts, the three fasts that came next, so then, Anshe Mishmor Misanim Mashlim, then the people that were just on call that week, and only maybe they might be needed if there was an overflow of work, so then they fasted and completed their fast, because the likelihood was that they would not be working. So the Anshe Mishmor, for the rest of the days, other than that base of that was on, so they fasted and completed the fast. And the Anshe Beis Av, those people that were actually working that day, So they would fast, misanin, however, v'lo mashim, but they didn't complete the fast, so they wouldn't be so weak. And finally, for the last seven, according to this Tanakama, the Shev Achronis, the last in the series of the fast, the last seven fasts, so then, elu v'elu, both the Mishmar and even the Beis Av, misanin u'mashlim, they would go and fast the entire day, even they would get tired and exhausted because they were fasting. Nevertheless, this is a very serious time of a Klai Yisrael, so they fasted as well and completed it, Diri Rabbi Shua. The Tanakama Rabbi Shua says that's the process. Chachamim are one step more lenient in every case. But Chachamim Amrim, no. Shalosh, Tanios, Rishonos, for the first series of fasts, the first three fasts, when it's not as serious, none of the people that were on the Mishmar, and certainly not the Beis Av, they didn't fast at all, not even fasting partially in Mashlimim, for any of them, because it wasn't yet so serious, so they were working, or potentially working, so they didn't fast at all. By the second series of three fasts, Shalosh, Shnios, however, then the Anshei Mishmar, they, people that were on call that week, but not working that day specifically, they were just backup, so they would be misanin v'lo mashlim, but they didn't finish off the fast. In case they were needed, they wouldn't be so exhausted. But the Anshei Beis Av, lo'i misanin klal, the people that were working in the Beis Av that day, they didn't even fast at all in the second series of fast. However, when it came to the serious third series of fast, the seventh fast at the end, Shev Achronos, so then the Anshei Mishmar, misanin mashlim, they were not working that day necessarily, they were just backup, they were in case there was a need, so then they would fast and they would complete the fast. But here, the Anshei Beis Av would just fast misanim v'lo mashlim because they were still working, so they didn't make them fast the whole day. So again, the Chacham's opinion is one step more lenient than Rabbi Yeshua every step of the way. The Mishnah continues and says, Anshei Mishmar mutarin lishtos yayin balelos. So the Anshei Mishmar, the people that weren't working that day, so they were allowed to go drink wine at night. You already knew how many kabbonis there were. You knew whether they would be needed at night or not to do the avodas at night, like the burning of the pedarim and the evarim of the korban ola and the pedarim, the sacrificial vats of all the other kabbonis. So therefore, they knew how much work there was, and they knew they wouldn't be needed at night. So then they could have wine. You're not allowed to do the avoda if you drank even a reviz of wine. So the Anshei Mishmar that weren't on call that day, they could drink wine. However, aval ol b'yamim, but they shouldn't drink wine in the day because in case they suddenly are needed, so they can't be shosu yayin. They can't have drunk a reviz of wine. So during the day, they didn't drink. At night, they could already see that no new kabbonis brought. They only had the ending up of all the kabbonis from the day. So therefore, if there was no work for them, they could drink. However, the Anshei Beis Av, lo b'yom v'lo b'layla, the Anshei Beis Av, they didn't drink at all because they were working at night, so they couldn't be shosu yayin at all. The Mishnah continues and says, what about the Anshei Mishmar, the Anshei Maimud? So these people in the Mishmar, as well as the Yisraelim in the Anshei Maimud, which I mentioned before, so they were the Yisraelim that were on call that week to be the representatives of Klai Yisrael. So there are dinim that apply to all of them as well. So asurim milisaper, during that week that they're on call, so they're not allowed to go take a haircut or shave, umilchabis, and they didn't do their laundry. We want them to be prepared to do the avodah and not be distracted by anything else. However, ubechamishi, but on the Thursday of that week, because of needy for preparations for Shabbos, so mutar mipnei kavod Shabbos, they would be allowed to go and take a haircut and shave and wash their clothing because they didn't do this on Friday because Friday was too busy and it was getting too close to Erev Shabbos, so they allowed them to do this on Thursday. Mishnah continues and tells us, kolak kosuv megilas tainis, the lola mispeid, all those days of megilas tainis. We already spoke a lot about megilas tainis in this Masechta. Megillas Tainis was a listing of all the miracles that occurred, what we call minor holidays to the Jewish people, where Chazal set up an Isser to go and eat on those days. There was an Isser of Tainis on those days, and as well, there was an Isser of Hesped on those days. You wanted to do eulogies. You couldn't fast, and you couldn't do eulogies on those days. So therefore, all of those days that are written down in Megillas Tainis, that you're not allowed to go and do a eulogy, and as well, you're not allowed to fast. So what about the day beforehand? Lufan of Osir as well. You're not permitted to go and do fasting and eulogies on the day beforehand. The Achru of Mutter, but the day afterwards you're allowed to. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Rav Yossi Omer Lefon of Uli Achru of Osir, he adds on and says, no, in addition to restriction, both the day before and the day afterwards, you're not allowed to do that. According to Rashi, it means you're not allowed to have fasting or eulogizing on those days. There are others that say differently, but we'll learn simple like Rashi. Again, we call this Perish Rashi. I mentioned very much in my introduction that this, according to the Maritz Chiyas and others, is not Rashi. And you can see this clearly in the Rashi on the Oman Aleph. I didn't point it out then. We talked about Uba Kabbalah, Dibra Masa Uba Kabbalah. Rashi brings down Vihishka Tosfos. He says that Tosfos was questioning this, Vihiksha Tosfos. Now, I don't think you find any place in Rashi where Rashi ever mentions Tosos. So here's another Raya. I thought, Lanias Dati, that these Rashis are like the Maritz Chayis, not necessarily written by Rashi, but were written by descendants of Rashi, Tamidim of Rashi. In any event, we continue in the Mishnah. On those days in Megillas Tainis, we just said that you're not allowed to fast, but it didn't say you're also not allowed to have the Hesped. The Lolis, I know, you can't fast, but it didn't mention about eulogies. So then the Tanakhama says, Lefon of Uliach Mutter. For those days, they're not as serious or strict, so then the day before and the day afterwards you're allowed to go and fast. However, Rav Yossi also disagrees. He says, Omer lefanavaser, on the day before you're not allowed to fast, liachrov mutar, but the day afterwards you would be allowed to fast. Mishnah continues and says, "En gozhin tanis halatziba betchila b'chamishi." We had mentioned this in the first parak, and this was the source. We don't make a tanis start, a tanis siba start on a Thursday, because if people see then after the tanis Thursday afternoon, people are buying food to break the fast on. They're buying a lot of food, and then they're also buying a lot of food for Shabbos. People are going to say, "Oh, there's a famine. There's a shortage of food, and there's going to be a run on the market, and the price is going to go up." So the rabbis never started the tainis on a Thursday. This series of tainisim shalolaf ki asharm, in order not to have inflation, to go and have the storekeepers raise their prices, because oh, everybody's coming to buy. There must be a shortage, and they raise the prices. However, Ella Shalosh Tanios Rishonos, they always started off the first three fasts with Beis, Hey, Beis, Sheni, V'chamishi, V'sheni. That's where we have this idea of Beis, Hey, Beis, Bahab. And this way, because he started on a Monday, and the people buy a little bit extra food on Monday, so then when they buy a little bit extra food on Thursday, everybody realizes it's because of the Tanesim and not because of a run on the market. Incidentally, I should have pointed out a moment ago, that which we said about the laundering and the taking the haircuts, that's a machlokes between Tosus and the Rambam. Tosus says that it's talking about even the Anshei Mishmar are allowed to take haircuts on Thursday. The Rambam said that was only referring to the Anshei Maimon that would be allowed to take haircuts on Thursday, that the people working in the Beis HaMikdash, they were too busy, and they wouldn't be allowed to go do that on Thursday as well. Now the Mishnah continues and says, what about the next three fasts? V'shalosh shnios. So the Tanakhama says, so that could be starting on a Thursday. Chamishi, Sheni, v'chamishi. There's no problem about being mafkia d'sharm because everybody knows we're in a series of fasts already. So let's say you finished off Beis, Hey, Beis. So the next series of fasts could start on a Thursday. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. However, Rav Yossi says, no. Rav Yossi says, k'shem sheni orishonos b'chamishi, kach lo shnios v'lo achronos. He says, just like you don't start the first series of fasts on a Thursday, you don't start the second series of fasts on a Thursday. It's also Beis, Hey, Beis. And the third series of fasts was the seventh fast. You also don't start on a Thursday. You start it off on a Monday. We're always concerned about this mafkia hasharm, that you're going to go impact the sharm. And since these fasts, they always had a little break in between the fasts, so people wouldn't say, well, we just fasted on Monday, and now we're starting the next series on this Thursday. There always was a week or two or three in between the series of fasts to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, a chance to bring the rain and to gather the chacham to decide, yes, we need to institute the next series of fasts. So it wasn't so clear that it was connected to the previous series of fasts. And if we had the fast starting on a Thursday, Rav Yossi says it's going to be mafkia d'sharm. And his opinion is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah continues finally and concludes, Ein gozer tanis ala tzibur b'roshi chadoshim b'chanukah b'purim. We likewise are not gozer tanis on the tzibur if it's going to be on Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah Purim. These are all days that you have an obligation to eat something. You shouldn't be fasting on these days, and therefore we don't start off any of these series of fasts that would be on a Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. However, if they started a series of fasts, and then it turns out they didn't realize that it was Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim that would fall out in between, so then, ein mafsikin, you don't interrupt it, and you even fast on these days of Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. The Ritva has an interesting comment over here, and he brings two different shitos as to whether they knew when the calendar was, you knew when Chanukah was, you knew when Purim was, you knew when Rosh Chodesh was, so are they allowed the chatchila to go set up a series of fasts that could, in fact, end up being on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim? The Ritva brings down two opinions. The first one is that it says, Ein gozrin tanis ala tzibor, but we don't have the word batchila. So therefore, he says, on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, in ala goes to the tanis, Afilu kasher hitainis shnia miser der tainis, even if it's going to be subsequently coming. And that which it says, if they start it, you don't finish it, that's imgozru tanis al gishomim, o al tzoros acheros, ad shi'anu, until they're answered, o azman sheim zukukim legeshim lefi makom, or until the times when the rains are no longer going to be needed, Nebuch, in that area, below kavu zman l'siyam atanis, and they didn't have a specified end date, and they therefore didn't think about that this would hit a Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim. In that situation, and only in that situation, in Mishilu Upagu, Ein Mafsikin. So only then do you not interrupt it. But if they knew beforehand, so then they would interrupt for those days. But then there's a second opinion that the Ritva brings down. He says, Ein Gozu Betchila. It says, At Kavana, Sha'afim Yodim Betchila, Zerosim, Shifu Rosh Chodesh. Shari, it's permissible. Kish Ein Hayom Rishon. L'sadaris hatainios. That he says, even if you know it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, as long as that's the first one, you would be allowed to do that l'chatchila. So again, the Ritva brings down these two different opinions. Now, this was, I forgot to say, Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. This Tanakam over here, this opinion, Ein gozer tanis ala tzibor, b'roshi chadoshi b'chanukah purim, v'mischilu, ein mafsikin, Divrei Rabbi Gamliel, was the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Meir says to him, Rabbi Meir, Even though Rabbi Gamliel says that you don't interrupt and you fast on Rosh Chodesh Chanukah Purim in this situation, he says, yes, Rabbi Gamliel said that you're supposed to fast on those days, but you don't finish off the fast. And he says the halach is the same. If Tisha B'Av would come out on a Friday, in our calendar, of course, that can never happen. The only fast that can come out on a Friday is Asar B'Teves, and we do fast on that Friday, and we do fast up to including Shabbos. Some have the custom that the Bedavka make Shabbos early, then even though it's the middle of the winter, they make an early Shabbos so that you don't go into Shabbos, the real Shabbos, starving and fasting. But the Halacha L'maisa, you don't have to do that. And we do fast on Asar B'Teves that falls out on a Friday. But here he brings that. And the Tisha B'Av would fall out on Friday, which in the days where they were declaring the new moon based upon the witnesses, so it theoretically could come out that Tisha B'Av will be on a Friday. So then, in that situation, Rav Meir says that even Rav Gamliel will be moda v'chei Tisha B'Av shechol yos be'erev Shabbos, that you're fasting, but you ain't mashlim. You wouldn't finish it off, so you shouldn't go into Shabbos while you're fasting. Long Mishnah, and now we begin the Gemara. Say the Taniyos Ketzem Motzina Satev V'chule. We brought down the quote, the Mishnah over here, that we said that they would go and bring out the Teva. So Gemara says, "Vafilu become Maisa." So we're asking right now. Now we already know the Teretz because I said that's what the Gemara says. That it's only talking about the last series of seven fasts. But right now the Gemara is assuming that it means even the first fast, and they're going to question this. "Vafilu become Maisa." Are you telling me that they took out the Aron even for the first series of three fasts, or Minu? But I'll show you. The Brisa says otherwise. The Brisa specifically states Shalosh Tanios Rishonos Ushnios, the first three series of fasts, and then even the second three series of fasts. They daven inside the shul, and they daven the regular Shemoneh Esrei without any special additions, and only a b'shev achronos. It's only on the last seven fasts that motzina at table rechov shalir that they then bring out the Aron Kodesh to the larger rechov shalir. The nosin efer al gabi a table rosh nazi rosh abisnei beizim cholecha vechad notel the nosin rosh, and then they do the efer makla that we mentioned on the first on the Aron Kodesh, and then on the head of the nazi they put it on, and then they put it on the head of the ab basin, and then everybody puts it on their own heads. And the Brisa seems to say this is only for the last seven fasts. And Rabbi Nosso Omer, Efer Makla, Hein Mevim. And Bedafka uses burnt ashes. So, and here's what we have the Tosos that brought down this idea of the burnt ashes. It really was, it says, a Shaykh Le'amud Aleph with the Mishnah, but here is where it's brought down. In any event, this clearly says it's not the Kamaisa. It's not for the first series of fasts or even the second series of fasts. So the Gemara gives a teretz, and I said before, Amre Papa, Kitnan Nami Masnesin, Ashev Achronos Tanan. When our Mishnah was saying that you do this, it was also referring only to the last 7 days. It didn't state so specifically, but there's no stira here. The Brisa, as well as our Mishnah, are saying that this only is done on the last seven series of fasts, the last series, and not the first two series of three fasts each. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, you put the Ephraim Akla uberosh ha-nasi. You put it on the head of the Nasi. Somebody else specifically puts it on the head of the Nasi. And then, Father Tani, and afterwards it says, now there's different kirsos over here. It seems to be just an unnecessary repetition. It says, afterwards, the Kol Echad puts it on, Kol Echad v'Echad, no tel v'nosi is the gears that we have, but it should be just Kol Echad b'rosh. They each put it on their own head. Some just have the gears, so no same Birosho, that's the gears that's brought down on the side, the Mesar Sashas, and also that's the gears of the Vilna Gaon, that it should be called Echad V'Echad no same, not no Tovah no same. They each go and put ashes on the head. More questions is, it says, really? Ini? Is this really so? Now, the gears that we have is what? Nine, that this is a Mishnah, but on the side it says that this is really a Brisa, so it should be V'Hatanya. And this is a Brisa that's brought down from Brachos, where it says over there, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Bigidula Maschilim in Agodol. However, Ubiklala Maschilim in Akotin. Here you're saying that we're starting off from the head of the Nasi and then to the Ab Basin because they're the greatest, so we start off with them first. But the Gemara Brachos, it says that Rabbi says you only start with the most important person, the most chash of a person, when it's a covet to start with the most important person. However, Ubiklala Maschilim in Akotin, when it's a negative thing, we start with the least important person. And we see a riot to this, Bigdula Maschilim in Agado. We start off when we're dealing with Choshava things, important things, so then you start off with the most Choshava person, with the Gadol, and that's based upon Shinemar. The Pasuk tells us when Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, so he taught it over to Aaron, to Elozo, and Isomar. So it says, Vayomer Moshe El Aaron. First it mentions Aaron's name, and only then afterwards his children, Elozo, and Isomar. So you see, Bigdula Maschilim in Agado. And likewise, Ubiklala, in regards to a negative thing, occurs, Maschilim in Akotin. You start off with the youngest one. Now, we delete the words the Omar Mar, they're really inappropriate over here, as the Omar Mar means we're repeating something that we just said, and we didn't say this. In any event, it says, in regards to the curse of the Nachash and Chava and then Adam, it says first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed the Nachash, Betchila Niskalo Nachash, the least of the important to them. V'yachakach Niskalo Chava, and then V'yachakach Niskalo Adam. So you see, when it comes to a curse, you start off with the least important one. So how come over here we put the Eifer Maklo, which seems like a curse, first on the Nasi and then on the Abbasin? You should have didn't put it on everybody first, then put it on the Abbasin, and then put it on the Nasi. Gemara says, no, this is also a compliment. This is also a davar chashuv that they're starting off with them. Ha chashivusa liditu. The fact that we're starting off with the nasi was saying you are the person that we want davening for us, and that's why we're putting on the eifer makla on you first. You're the most chashuv person. We want you to go lead us in davening to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why we start off with the nasi and then we go to the abbasin. The amri lehu, because it's as if the tzibur is telling these people, the nasi and the abbasin, atun, you too chashivisu limiboy alan rachme. Akule Alma, that you too are worthy to go and daven on behalf of all of Klai Yisrael for our salvation. So therefore, this is a davar chashuv, this is a begedula, and therefore, that's why we start off with the gadol. Then we quote the Mishnah again, the girsos over here are a little bit all messed up, so the girsos, it says on the side, it should be to call echa v'echa v'chule. Again, we delete the word call echa v'echa notel nosi roshon omar avada, and we just say, call echa v'echa no sein birosho, or some just say v'cholecha v'echa birosho. In any event, so the Mishnah tells us nasi v'yabezdin nami nishkilu inu. Let the nasi and the abezdin put the ashes on the eifer makla on by themselves. V'ninchu biroshayim. And they themselves can put it on their heads. Why do we v'dafke have somebody else put it on their heads, and the rest of the people, everybody puts it on their own head? Why v'dafke do we say that somebody else, the gabbai, somebody else goes and puts the eifer makla on the head of the nasi with the tefillin or, and puts it on the head of the abbasin with the tefillin or? Why did they not do it themselves? So the Gemara tells us, I'm a Rabbi Abba, the min Kisari. So Rabbi Abba, who comes from Kisari, Kisarya, he told us, because Eino Dome Mispayish Me Atzmo, we don't compare somebody who's embarrassed by himself. In other words, he puts the own Eifer Makla on his own head to the, quote, busha that would be done if somebody else did it. L'mispayish me'achayim. If somebody else were to do that, so then that's more embarrassing. And we want to subdue ourselves. We want to humble ourselves. We want to subordinate ourselves. So we do this bedavka. Having somebody else put the ashes on your head is more embarrassing than if you put the ashes on your head yourself. Where do you put the ashes? I already mentioned this before. This is where I got it from. Where do you put the ashes on during this tanesim? And as I pointed out, this is the same din that we put it on by the chosan and his wedding. Where on the body, on the head, do you put it? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak says, B'malkum tefillin, you put it where the shel rosh is. And it's not on the forehead. People mistakenly think you put it on the forehead. There are other religions that put ash on the forehead at various times. That's not our custom. They probably took their idea from our custom, but they misunderstood it. And it's supposed to be B'malkum tefillin. You put it where the tefillin are above the forehead. They have to be above the hairline. So therefore, you put the ashes, B'malkum tefillin, on the hair, not on the forehead. Shenemar, Losum Lavele Tzion, Los Eislam Pe'er. Pe'er is a reference to the tefillin, Tachas Eifer. You'll have over there eventually the tefillin will take the place of the Eifer, but for now, right now, we have the Eifer in that place. And therefore, that's where we put the ashes in the makom of the tefillin. With this, we conclude today's shiur.